RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo wants that amnesty discussion finalized this year. Trade Minister optimistic Indonesian economy will grow better in 2016. Government asked to make a breakthrough in 2016. President Joko Widodo said that the implementation of asset revaluation and the discussion of tax amnesty law must be completed this year. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said the completion of discussion would be the foundation for a better economy for this year and the years to come. He also said President Joko Widodo emphasized that a general tax amnesty will be preferred immediately to seek approval from the House of Representatives DPR. Deputy Finance Minister Mardiasmo said that his ministry will review this year's tax revenue target. The result will be included in 2016 state budget amendment so that Indonesia would have a bigger chance to achieve this year's tax revenue target. Previously, Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro has said that tax amnesty would be a major consideration in determining whether this year's tax revenue target will be revised. Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Lembon believes that Indonesia's economy will grow better in 2016. This was stated after attending Trade Minister gathering on Christmas and New Year's 2016 in Jakarta on Wednesday. According to him, such optimism is based on the Indonesian government's strong commitment to increase coordination to reach economic target achievement. Minister Thomas said that the optimism is also based on global economic condition that grows into a better level.
Jadi gini, di 2015 saya menolak untuk optimis ya, karena begitu banyak tantangan.
In 2015, I refused to be optimistic as there were a lot of challenges and global condition was not that conducive. In 2015, I was shocked and concerned, but in 2016, I feel like optimistic. We passed on many economic challenges. The government is coordinating and gaining a lot of development. The American economy also grows better, including European countries. Even though the challenges facing problems, but he believes that they will handle it. So I feel optimistic for 2016.
RRT ya, China masih banyak tantangan. Saya semakin yakin bahwa mereka juga bisa mengatasinya. Jadi 2016 saya memang lebih optimis.
Even though some developed countries are still facing economic difficulties, but Minister Thomas Lembon said that the Indonesian government needs to take advantages in dealing with those challenges. He added that President Joko Widodo in the past cabinet plenary meeting of 2016 has instructed his ministers to maintain national inflation rate. According to Minister Thomas, such obligation has become his short-term priority. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has communicated to the Secretary General of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation (OIC), Iyad Amin Madani, related to the conflict between the government of Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the government of Islamic Republic of Iran. She said Indonesian government conveys his concern to Iyad Amin Madani and emphasized the importance of maintaining stability and security in the Middle East region because it will affect the peace process in the global level. That was stated by spokesperson of the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, to RRI World Service in Jakarta on Wednesday.
Jadi begitu ada masalah ini, Ibu Menteri Luar Negeri.
So when there is a problem, Madam Foreign Minister immediately takes the initiative first to contact the Secretary General of the OIC. Minister Retno Marsudi expressed the Indonesian views or Indonesian concern about the progress that occurs between Saudi Arabia and Iran. On the occasion, she also emphasized the importance of maintaining stability and security in the region, because the security in the Middle East region will have an impact not only on peace processes that are still being sought, such as in Syria and Yemen, but also on the global peace stability generally. Moreover, according to Armanata Nasir, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi encouraged the OIC to contribute positively to resolve the problems that are being faced by the government of Saudi Arabia and Iran, as well as requesting the OIC to maintain stability in the region. Armanata Nasir added Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi has expressed the readiness of Indonesian government to the Secretary General of OIC to provide any assistance needed to resolve the conflict between Saudi Arabia and Iran. The spokesperson of the Foreign Affairs Minister also said that the Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has contacted the Arabian and Iranian Foreign Affairs Ministers to address Indonesian concerns and asked to both countries to keep themselves in order to maintain the security and stability, because Saudi Arabia and Iran are two influential countries in each region. Entering the second year of the President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla's administration, the government is expected to make important breakthrough, so it will not raise political noise like it was in 2015. This was stated by a political observer of Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, Siti Suhro, to a rural service in Jakarta on Tuesday. She also said the Indonesian system of democracy must be supported by political parties which had professional management.
Iya, tentunya memang tidak ada sama sekali ya jaminan ya, 100% jaminan bahwa dengan reshuffle kan mungkin akhir.
Of course, there is no guarantee that by making cabinet reshuffle in 2016, there will be soft cleaning. I think it is not as long as President Jokowi does not make sales planning. We can be sure that there are no more frictions among political parties which could raise less positive effect. Thus, we have agreed to do system of democracy supported by political parties. Whoever the president is, he or she must be supported by healthy political parties.
Macam dampak-dampak yang juga kurang positif keluar. Oleh karena itu memang kita memang bersepakat melakukan sistem demokrasi yang ditopang oleh partai politik. Nah, siapapun presidennya, siapapun yang berkuasa di negeri ini memang harus mendorong sistem demokrasi yang ditopang oleh partai politik yang sehat.
Moreover, regarding the ASEAN Economic Community 2016, Siti Suhro asked the government to play active role to support micro, small and medium enterprises and other business entities so they are able to compete their products against other countries' products. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Students of University of Gajah Mada, UGM, has successfully developed online application of veterinarian consulting services. This technological innovation was designed to facilitate the public, especially pet owners, in consultation with the veterinarian. CEO of Online Veterinarian Consulting Service, Muhammad Nuri Nuha Naufal, said that UGM Yogyakarta on Tuesday, through website drhewanku.com, he said his pets to connect veterinarian with animal owners without limitation of time and space. Besides Naufal from Faculty of Engineering, there are two other members. They are Ibnu Mahmudin from Faculty of Veterinary Medicine and Nanan Mahdi Mubarak from Faculty of Engineering. According to Naufal, the website could be accessed via laptop or smartphone. All features of the website could be accessed for free by pet owners. He explained currently there are more than 100 users of drhewanku.com who are owners of pets. Through this website, pet owners could ask questions or consultation about the problems faced. The development of Indonesian railway network and the Trans-Papua Land Road will help bring down the price of goods in the country's eastern region by up to 50%. This was affirmed by Director of Transportation Affairs of the Minister of National Development Planning or BAPENAS, Bambang Priyartono, in Jakarta on Tuesday. He also remarked that the planned development of land transport network would reduce logistic costs amounting to 3% of the gross domestic product GDP. In the meantime, the development of sea transportation will reduce logistic costs amounting to 4% of the GDP. Priyartono further said that the Minister of Transportation is trying to complete a feasibility study for the Papua Railway Train project. In addition to the ongoing feasibility study, the Minister of Transportation has decided upon the first road Soron-Manokwari stretch. The last item, head of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BNKG, Andi Sakya said, until this January, El Nino in Indonesia will still be strong, at the level of 2.3. El Nino that has hit Indonesia since last October 2015 is predicted to end in April. Andi stated, El Nino is a phenomenon that is rather difficult to be predicted. El Nino in Indonesia not only causes drought in some areas but also reduces water content in the soil. He also stated that El Nino also caused the rainfall was not as much as in the same period of previous year. Although Indonesia has at the least 342 local season zones, each zone has its tropical characteristics. Many parties stated El Nino brings about impact on food security in Indonesia. In fact, according to Andi, El Nino affected areas only in southern of the equator, so food security could be centralized in northern region of the equator. Andi added that El Nino also makes the surface of the sea in Indonesia become cooler. This contributes to high chlorophyll at sea. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here is commentary entitled Executions in Saudi Arabia Trigger New Tensions with Iran. A new tension between Iran and Saudi Arabia came after the execution of a Shia cleric, Nimr al-Nimr, last Saturday. Saudi Arabia broke off the diplomatic relations with Iran after demonstrators stormed the Saudi embassy in Tehran. Al-Nimr was executed along with 46 other death row inmates, including the members of Al-Qaeda, on charge of inciting violence against the police. Saudi Arabia and Iran, the two oil giants in the Middle East, have long been competing for ideological influence between the Sunni and Shia in the region. The effect of ideological war between the two countries is evident in the conflict in Syria and Yemen. The war in Syria is also transparently shows the support of the two world powers. The United States, who supports Arabia, and Russia, who supports Iran, which represented on the support for Bashar al-Assad. Expression of concern came from various countries. Most of them are concerned about the spread of sectarian conflict even to other regions. The rift between Saudi Arabia and Iran will endanger the international coalition efforts to reconcile Syria. Washington, via Foreign Ministry spokesman John Kirby, urged both countries to take steps to defuse the tension. Meanwhile, the Russian Foreign Ministry on Monday said Moscow was concerned over the escalation of the tensions between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Russia claimed to be ready to be a mediator in order to ease the tensions between the two countries of the Middle East. The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, also expressed concern over the deteriorating relationship between Saudi Arabia with Iran. Furthermore, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno L.P. Marsudi, will seek the best solution by contacting the Secretary General of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or OIC, foreign ministers of Iran and Saudi Arabia. Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesman Armaneta Kristiawan Nasir told Tempo on Monday that the government of Indonesia called on all parties to exercise their restraint and avoid actions that may lead to the escalation of the situation and jeopardize the stability as well as the security in the region. The execution of the Shia cleric was indeed angered by the Shiites in the region. However, the execution of dozens of Al-Qaeda members at the same time also gave the message that violence committed by the Sunnis cannot be tolerated either. This fact may also be considered so as to eliminate the sectarian suspicions and not to let an open war to happen. Even the family of Nimr al-Nimr has urged the Shia community to express disappointment with peaceful means. Thus, the countries in the Middle East can concentrate on the actual regional problem, which is the ISIS. Well, listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Well, listener, nice to meet you again with me. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program Today in History, over Aerial Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, it's time for an event taking place in January 6th. We begin the event on which Britain recognized the sovereignty of the People's Republic of China, so Taiwan brought its diplomatic relations. In October 1st, 1949, Mao Zedong announced the founding of People's Republic of China, PRC. Later, Beijing was declared as the capital of the People's Republic of China. Then the Mao government established a relationship with Soviet Union. So the next night, the Soviet government expressed recognition to the PRC and broke up diplomatic relations with the Government of the Republic of Nationalist China in Taiwan, led by Chiang Kai-shek. The satellite state of the Soviet Union also expressed their recognition for the PRC. Afterwards, India also had to recognize the sovereignty of China in December 30, 1949, and followed by England in January 6, 1950. When the British recognized their sovereignty of the PRC, Taiwan government broke up its diplomatic relations with Britain. We continue with the event at Pan Am, the first commercial airline serving routes around the world. Established in March 14, 1927, Pan American Airways became one of the first commercial airlines serving the routes around the world. In the days before World War II, the company founded by Major Henry Arnold has already had networks of routes in the United States, Europe, and Asia. Entering the World War II, the planes of Pan American Airways were used by the military for military purposes. In 1947, the airline was back to operate with services around the world by Lockheed Constellation named Clipper America. This include San Francisco flights with stop in Honolulu, Tokyo, Hong Kong, Bangkok, Manila, Kolkata, Delhi, Beirut, Istanbul, Frankfurt, London, and finally New York. Exactly in January 6, 1970, the services around the world were actually realized at the beginning of New York route by Boeing 707. Early 1970s was a triumph of airlines. Purposely, the oil crisis in 1973 affected the airline business as a whole. In January 8, 1991, Pan American Airways was officially declared bankrupt. Well, listener, we end today's event that occurred in January 6, 1977, a massive demonstration supporting Iranian Imam Khomeini. A massive demonstration was staged by residents of various cities in Iran, following the publishing of an article in the newspaper Al-Tayyat that insulted Imam Khomeini. Shah Pahlavi regime ruling in Iran at the time issued an article by intending to reduce people's love for Imam Khomeini. On the contrary, the Iranian people were very angry and staged massive demonstrations. 1 year later, the Islamic Revolution led by Imam Khomeini gained victory and Shah Pahlavi was overturned from his power. Well, listener, that was Today in History. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Well, listener, it's nice to meet you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program, Foy Green, over Aerial Service, Voice of Indonesia. The topic we highlight today is that the management waste is based on online system. The waste problem is not the one that can be ignored. Serious attention and cooperation are needed by all stakeholders, and waste bank could be a solution. The waste bank is a management system of dry garbage which involves the active participation of the public. The system will accommodate the waste bank, sort and distribute economically valued garbage in the market so that the public can gain benefit and income by saving sorted waste. Since 2011, the waste bank has developed rapidly in Indonesia. Up to 2015, the number of cities developing West Bank increased from 99 cities to 129 cities by increasing the number of bank units of garbage from 1,640 units to 2,861 units, with the total number of depositors around 175,430 people. Meanwhile, the number of garbage bins in the bank increased from 2,347 tons to 5,551 tons per month, with the total transaction value of rupiah increase from 15 billion per month to 34.3 billion rupiah. An institute for small business incubation center set up by the Association of Muslim Scholars was to initiate the implementation of the West Bank Finance integrated with online system in three cities in West Java. The online garbage ban has been released in Bandung, West Java since September 2015. Now the number of the online system in Bandung has reached as many as 130 points and 260 points in Depok City. The online system was first launched in Bekasi at the beginning of 2016 at Gan Gamprit, Jatiwaringin Village, Pondok Gede. Bank's financial management system adopted online professional financial institutions such as conventional banks in general. The recording of the garbage management will be done through the online system integrated with the payment system. Financial records such as checking balance and transaction among the customers can be done through smartphone applications. The online waste ban will not only play a role in reducing the amount of garbage and creating a cleaner environment, but also as a means of donation. According to the chairman of the Cooperative of Islamic Brotherhood, Pajri Alwin Siregar, the waste ban will push public awareness to clean up the environment. However, it also raises social awareness. Communities can provide garbage to the most, which will then be managed in a garbage bank. Antara reported that bank's customers will bring dry garbage bins that will sell them to the manager and at the value of around 1,000 rupiah per kilogram. Meanwhile, if they using the online system, they are required to sort out the type of garbage that they will sell, such as plastic, plastic bottles, bottle caps, and others. Therefore, each has different prices so as to provide more benefits to the customers. Alwin said, currently more than 60 residents had been recorded as customer with total revenue 1 million rupiah per month of waste that they manage. Small Business Incubation Center develops two applications, namely application of Indonesia Garbage Bank for bank management waste and application called VIP Mobile to its customers. Director of Small Business Incubation Center, Aslichan Burhan, said, the employees of the bank waste can record every dry garbage. Then it is automatically converted into balance. The balance will be used to buy electric bills or mobile phone and pay electricity bills directly via SMS or Android application. Director General of Solid Waste Management, Hazardous Waste and Toxic Substances at the Minister of Environment and Forestry, Tuti Mintarsi, stated, from the perspective of people's economy, saving money from the banned waste and additional income from the sale of compost, creative products and from waste are real benefits from the waste bank. The development of this waste bank should be an initial momentum to foster the collective consciousness of the public and to start sorting, recycling and using waste, because the waste has a pretty good selling point, so that environmentally sound waste management becomes a new culture of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was Foy Green today. Thanks for listening. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo said that the implementation of asset regulation and the discussion of tax amnesty law must be completed this year. Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Lembon believes that Indonesian economy will grow better in 2016. This was stated after attending Trade Minister gathering on Christmas and New Year 2016 in Jakarta on Wednesday. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has communicated to the Secretary General of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, Iyad Hamid Madani, related to the conflict between the government of Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the government of Islamic Republic of Iran. Entering the second year of the President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kala administration, the government is expected to make important breakthrough so it will not raise political noise like it was in 2015. Student of University of Gajah Mada has successfully developed online application of veterinarian consulting services. This technological innovation was designed to facilitate the public, especially pet owners, in consultation with a veterinarian. The development of Indonesian railway network and the Trans-Papua Land Road will help bring down the price of goods in the country's eastern region by up to 50%. Head of Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BNKG, Andi Sakil, said until this January El Nino in Indonesia would still be strong at the level of 2.3. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 9525 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Ulu Traditional House. Stay tuned. Listeners, Ulu House is traditional house at the upstream of Musi River, South Sumatra Province. Ulu comes from a word of Uluan, meaning hamlet. Uluan is also the name of the people who live at Musi River upstream. All Ulu houses are made from wood. The lower part is supported by angled tree trunk. This tree trunk is believed to persist of hundreds of years. Ulu House is earthquake resistant. The foundation of structure design of Ulu House is a key to enable this house not to be easily collapsed during an earthquake. The poles are placed on a pile of stones so that they function like a stone wheel. If there is an earthquake, the house is only swaying, not collapse. Listeners, to build Ulu House must follow some rules. Its construction should be facing the front of the line of the water flow. It is aimed to make the house free from flash floods that may come at any time. In addition, the construction of the houses should also follow Ulu Ulak system or Ilir. When the land for building the house is still wide enough and the owner plans to build another Ulu house, the houses should be built in the most upstream area. Ulu Ulak or Ilir system is not only a rule to build the house, but also to socially build a room. The house at the front or hulu is for senior people in family's line, and so on until to the most downstream house is occupied by youngest descendants. This system also applies when dividing rooms of the house. Ulu House is divided into three parts, namely the front room, living room, and the back room. The three rooms are divided into some parts such as garang or lintut, haluan and kakudan, gedongan room or ambin, and kitchen. Garang or lintut is a room which functions as a place for chatting among home members in the afternoon after doing routine work. Meanwhile, haluan and kakudang is a special room which is used as a rest area. Haluan is for men, while kakudan for women. Gedongan or ambin is located at the living room or ulu house, which is located higher than the other rooms. This room is used for parents to give advice to their children and grandchildren. The advice can also be in the form of fairy tales before sleeping. Listeners, along with development era, Ulu House is rarely found in South Sumatra. If you are interested in seeing this traditional house, you can visit Bala Putra Dewa Museum in Palembang. The form of the traditional house can be seen at the backyard of the museum and becomes the biggest collection of the museum. It was recorded that Ulu House is 200 years old and is taken from Asam Kilat Village, Pangandonan Sub-District, Ogan Komiring Ilir Regency. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, meet again in the Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you to Indonesian vocabs and idioms as well as their use in conversation. Today's topic is on menanyakan rumah sakit, or in English means asking for hospital direction. As usual, I will read you first the Indonesian vocab and idioms related to our topic today. I will say them twice and you can repeat after me. Menanyakan, menanyakan. In English, to ask. Rumah sakit bersalin, rumah sakit bersalin. In English, maternity hospital. Permisi, permisi. In English, excuse me. Di sebelah sana, di sebelah sana. In English, over there. Masih jauh, masih jauh. In English, still far. Agak jauh, agak jauh. In English, a bit far. Berapa kilometer? Berapa kilometer? In English, how many kilometers? Kira-kira 7 kilometer. Kira-kira 7 kilometer. In English, around 7 kilometers. Naik taksi. Naik taksi. In English, take taxi. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, Thank you. Atas bantuannya. Atas bantuannya. In English, for your help. Senang. Senang. In English, glad. Dapat. Dapat. In English, can. Membantu Anda. Membantu Anda. In English, help you. Well, listener, those vocabs and idioms will be conveyed in the conversation between Danu, or A, and Miss Lina, or B. I will read them twice, slowly, and you can repeat after me. A. Permisi, Tuan. Saya mencari rumah sakit bersalin. Permisi, Tuan. Saya mencari rumah sakit bersalin. In English, excuse me, sir. I'm looking for a maternity hospital. B. Rumah sakit bersalin. Rumah sakit bersalin. In English, maternity hospital. Ada di sebelah sana. Ada di sebelah sana. In English, it is over there. A. Apakah masih jauh? Apakah masih jauh? In English, is it still far? B. Iya, agak jauh. Iya, agak jauh. In English, yes, a bit far. A. Berapa kilometer dari sini? Berapa kilometer dari sini? In English, how many kilometer from here? B. Kira-kira 7 kilometer. Kira-kira 7 kilometer. In English, around 7 kilometers. Anda bisa naik taksi dari sini. Anda bisa naik taksi dari sini. In English, you can take taxi from here. Bilang saja, rumah sakit bersalin bunda yang ada di Jalan Menteng. Bilang saja, rumah sakit bersalin bunda yang ada di Jalan Menteng. In English, just say, Bunda Maternity Hospital at Menteng Street. A. Terima kasih atas bantuannya. Terima kasih atas bantuannya. In English, thank you for your help. B. Terima kasih kembali. Terima kasih kembali. In English, you are welcome. Senang dapat membantu Anda. Senang dapat membantu Anda. In English, glad to help you. Well, listener, that was our Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RR Evolve Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I'll introducing an Indonesian singer, namely Amir Gita Pradana. Fruits falling not far from the tree. This proverb is very suitable for a newcomer singer, Amir Gita Pradana. He was born from a couple of Indonesian talented musicians, Dian Hapi and Didi Agipi. Amir comes to the Indonesian musical industry by presenting his song entitled I Love You as a movie soundtrack Hello Goodbye. So, now let's listen to the song I Love You by Amir Gita Pradana.
Sadar di masa terdahulu, tempat habiskan waktu bersama kamu. Di sudut itu ku cium pipimu, ku genggam tanganmu dengan sederhana. Tak perlu bunga tanpa puisi, dan lagu cinta tak perlu coklat buah stroberi. Ini sederhana, katakan cinta. Yeah, katakan dengan cinta. Yeah, jauh lebih sederhana, tanpa ada cemburu, tanpa logika. Tak perlu bunga tanpa puisi, dan lagu cinta tak perlu coklat buah stroberi. Ini sederhana, katakan cinta. Yeah.
Film Hello Goodbye was produced by Falcom Pictures. Ulang. A film Hello Goodbye was produced by Falcom Pictures and played by a married couple, Rio Dewanto and Atika Hasiloan. This film was taken at a shooting location in South Korea and has chosen as the official selection Busan International Film Festival, or BIFF 2012, in Korea. Amir, who was born on October 20th, 1987, started his music career professionally as a solo singer. He presents a song, I Love You, clearly and happily. The song is his personal arrangement that tells about a simple love story with sincere behavior. Just by the word, I love you, that already represents everything. Listener, coming up next, a song, Cuma Mau Bilang, I Miss You, by Amir Gita Pradana.
Kau telah
Amir liked composing songs with cheerful lyrics. Before he decided to implement solo career, Amir often played contemporary music with his father, Didi Agipi. Various books and literature works also become his daily menu as references to compose the lyric of his songs. He started his music career when he composed a song and arranged his own music while he was in school. He also has formed a band with his friends and performed in contemporary music show. Listener, before we conclude today's music corner, let's enjoy the last two songs entitled Listen and Dengan Izinnya Aku Beribadah by Amir Gita Pradana. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Dalam hancur, dalam lebur diriku tersisikan, terabaikan jiwaku. Tak berpijak, tak berdetak jantungku. Walau rusak, tetap aku mendengarmu. I listen. I am still listening to you. I listen. I am still listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Padanya.
ikatan sejati di dunia. Alhamdulillah, bismillah, dengan izinnya ku beribadah. Alhamdulillah, bismillah, dengan kehendaknya aku untukmu. Aku mencinta sepenuh jiwaku, ikhlaskan hadirku untukmu.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Sebuah simfoni, kata hati disadari, merasuk sukma kalbuku, dalam hati ada satu, manis lembut bisikan. Akan hidup mendatang
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.